tathāyava bhajamyaham mamavart manuvaratam te manusya parata sarvashaha. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspects of His manifestations. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is partially realized in His impersonal Brahma-jyoti effulgence, and as the all-pervading Supersoul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is only fully realized by His pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have Him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with His pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants Him. In other words, everyone is dependent for success upon His mercy only, and all kinds of spiritual processes are but different degrees of success on the same path, unless, therefore, one comes to the highest perfection of Krishna consciousness. All attempts remain imperfect, as is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharadhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one is without desire, or is desirous of all fruitive activities, or is after liberation, one should with all efforts try to worship the personality of Godhead for complete perfection, culminating in Krishna consciousness. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. In this human form of life, which is so truly valuable and rarely achieved, durlabha manava janma lobhya samsare, after evolving for countless millenniums, for countless, perhaps, creations through the various species of life, when, alas, we attain this valuable human birth, we are given the supreme benediction, which is the opportunity to purify our hearts and revive our original eternal consciousness and return to our natural condition of pure love, pure devotion, and attain the spiritual world. And everyone is given a chance. But Krishna explains in this verse that according to how you approach me, that is how I will reveal myself to you. And factually, wherever we look, we are seeing Krishna's energy. And whatever we do is how we are reciprocating with Krishna, knowingly or unknowingly. Krishna says in the Gita that all the beautiful and all the wonderful things of this world are only but one little spark of my supreme splendor. The less intelligent people, they are attracted to the glittering manifestations of Krishna's supreme opulence in this world. But they do not recognize what is the source of that beauty, what is the source of that attractive power. Therefore, they endlessly chase after phenomenal pleasures. But one who is intelligent, one who has divine wisdom, knows that behind everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the all-attractive, the all-beautiful, and the all-merciful. And all the phenomenal manifestations within this creation that we perceive, we cannot but want to experience them in their relationship to Krishna, for the pleasure of Krishna. We want to simply see all of the beauty of this world connected to the source of all beauty, Krishna. And that is the perfection of yoga. Yoga means to reunite, to reconnect all of this energy around us to its all-beautiful, all-loving, energetic source, Krishna. The wealth of this world is a manifestation of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi. All money, all fame, prestige, all beautiful homes, beautiful gardens, beautiful natural settings, all of our skills, all of our wisdom, knowledge, intelligence, all these types of good fortune that we strive so hard to attain in this world, they are all manifestations of the mercy of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. Now, as you know, Lakshmi Devi only has one position eternally at the feet of Narayan, serving his lotus feet with great devotion and love. And if we try to take Lakshmi, if we try to take the wealth, the fortune, the opulence of this world, however it may appear, away from the lotus feet of Narayan, then that same Lakshmi appears as Durga, not to be blessing us with her raised, merciful palm, but to be stabbing us with the trident of the threefold miseries of material existence. But when that same source of bondage that we have to the objects of the senses, when we learn the art of yoga, bhakti, how to offer them in the service of the lotus feet of Narayan, then through everything of this world, the manifestation of the blessings of Lakshmi Devi or Sri Radharani will be upon us. This is the goal of life. We find in the pastimes of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was just a young child, he was very young. He was just beginning to walk and to play. He was called upon by the name of Nimai. He was not a pundit as of yet when he was a small child. He was just known as Nimai. And we find how Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, they were born in Brahmin families, and they were very, very highly respected. But as far as monetary, they were not very wealthy. They lived very simple lives. They just had a small little cottage that they lived in, and they worshiped the deity of Lord Sri Krishna. And although by material standards they were not so wealthy, by the true standard of wealth, they were the richest people in all of creation, because they had the husband of the goddess of fortune. They had the supreme controller and the supreme possessor of everything that exists, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, living within their hearts always, cherishing his love 24 hours a day. Therefore, surely we could know that they were the wealthiest of all wealthy. Real wealth, real treasure, is love of God. Without that love of God, whatever we may attain in this world only diverts our attention away from the emptiness of our heart, which is the real poverty that causes everyone suffering birth after birth after birth. But whatever nice Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi, whatever nice things they had, as soon as they would see it, they would only think, how I will offer this to Nimai to make him happy. Huh? They never considered, I will be very rich, or I will be very happy if I can only get this. They were thinking, Nimai will be very happy if we can only get him this. This was their whole life. This was their meditation, day and night. Everything revolved around giving pleasure to Nimai, to Sri Chaitanya. So, with whatever they had, they would love to decorate Nimai very nicely. So they would put nice jewelry upon him. They would find nice pearls, some nice golden ornaments, and they would place them on his wrists and on his ankles and around his neck, just because they just wanted to see Nimai so happy and beautiful. But what was so amazing to everyone is when they took this jewelry, it was just nice jewelry. But when it was placed upon the beautiful effulgent form of Nimai, it became so brilliant, so lustrous, so opulent and extravagant looking. Nobody could understand. The jewels just shined. What it was is the jewels were simply reflecting the sweet golden effulgence of the Lord's complexion. Srila Prabhupada, our Guru Maharaj, used to tell us that when you are decorating the beautiful deity of the Lord, it is just the opposite in consciousness as when we are decorating our own bodies. When we decorate our own bodies, or the bodies of some other person of this world, we are thinking that these decorations will make my Lord, will make me very beautiful and very attractive. Huh? Just like some Matajis, they're ashamed to go out of the house without proper makeup and without all their mascaras and everything, because they're afraid people will think that they are not so beautiful. In other words, people will see me as I am, huh? Which is just, you know, an ordinary jivatma. Huh? Therefore, we try to disguise our plainness by creating a very extravagant appearance. And then people become accustomed to that, and we don't want to disappoint them. Huh? So, of course, this is very unnecessary, but this is the way the world is. But when we decorate Krishna, actually, Srila Prabhupada said, when you put a piece of jewelry on Krishna, the jewelry doesn't make Krishna beautiful. Krishna makes the jewelry beautiful. When you put a crown on Krishna, the crown does not make Krishna beautiful, but Krishna gives beauty to the crown. In fact, Krishna gives beauty to everything and everyone at all times, because he is the source of all beauty. And a wise person knows that there's nothing beautiful without it connected to Krishna. Anything that is not connected to Krishna through love and devotion is terrible. A devotee is not the slightest bit attracted to any of the phenomenal glares of material attraction. A foolish person, when he walks down the street, he sees somebody having something I do not have. Oh, I want that. That's so nice. If only I had this. If only I had that. Oh, just see this. A devotee sees that anything that is not used to decorate the beauty of, to decorate Krishna, has no beauty at all. When we see an ambassador car being used to drive a devotee to a nice preaching program, we think, oh, this ambassador car, it is like a heavenly vehicle. Just see, it's like a flower airplane. It's so beautiful. Krishna's beauty is manifesting through it so much. But when we see a Mercedes-Benz driving someone to work, simply to work like an ass all day for his own greedy purposes, we see that Mercedes-Benz as just a piece of junk, useless. Huh? It is a fact. We should learn to see like this. We should not be envious of materialistic people for what they have. Anything that is not decorating Krishna by being connected to him in loving service has no appeal, has no attraction. It is disgusting looking. But when we see anything, whatever, however significant or insignificant it may be, that it is being used in loving devotion in the service of Krishna, that connection makes it absolutely beautiful and satisfying to the heart to perceive. Huh? This is Krishna consciousness. So, Sachi Devi, she would decorate little Nimai with all these beautiful, beautiful pieces of jewelry. And the jewelry was looking so wonderful due to its contact with Nimai. Now, although Sachi Devi, Jagannath Mishra, and the other devotees, their life and soul was just getting all of this beautiful jewelry and offering it to Krishna, just getting wonderful foods and offering it to Nimai, just everything beautiful, offering it to Nimai. There is another class of men who are not willing to recognize that everything is the property of God, and whose business is try to exploit the resources of God's mercy for their own personal sense gratification. These people are called thieves. Anything you claim to be your own is putting you in the category of being a thief. Anything you try to enjoy separate from Krishna's service puts you in the category of stealing, a thief, and subjected to the prosecution of the karmic reactions of material nature. And it is a fact. So there were two thieves. They were professional thieves. They were walking through the roadsides looking for something to steal. Huh? And they saw the beautiful jewelry on Nimai. They didn't understand that the beauty was coming from Nimai. They were thinking only in terms of the jewelry. This is material consciousness. So they were thinking, we will take this child away. We'll kidnap him. Then we will murder him. And then we will have all of this jewelry and we will become very wealthy. So they were very expert at their art. So they went, Nimai was playing in the courtyard of the home of Jagannath Mishra, and he was all alone for a few moments. So there were some people around, but not his relatives. And they started saying, oh, our child, my own child, we have been looking all over for you. Now you have been lost. We will take you home. We will give you a ride home. And they put him on their shoulders. And to keep him from crying, they were just making nice ride. Children like to take rides. And then they were taking sandesh and other sweetmeats and putting it in his mouth. And Nimai was just enjoying eating sweetmeats, getting a nice ride. And they just very quickly took him further and further away through all these various forest paths to trying to lose anybody that may be following. And they realized, nobody's following. We have successfully stolen this child. Soon, they were just so lusty for this jewelry that soon we will be rich men. And they took all these secret pathways where no one would see them. And they were coming to their own homes. And as they were approaching their own home, they stopped. They said, okay, we have come. We are at our hideout. Now let us take the jewelry from the child and become rich. But what they could not understand is by the divine illusory potency of the Lord, they took Nimai back to his own home. And all of his relatives and his mother and his father, they were in great anxiety looking everywhere for him. They were thinking maybe he is hiding, maybe he is lost. Sachi Devi was crying, Jagannath Mishra was sitting in great anxiety. And as they stopped there, Nimai just jumped off their shoulders and ran to his mother and father and all of the crown's village people. And they were just celebrating, oh, Nimai has returned, Nimai has returned. And he was laughing and laughing, and everyone was so happy. And the thieves were thinking, we're going to get caught somehow or other. How did we come here? We thought this was our own home. They're going to arrest us and punish us. So very quickly they ran away. And meanwhile, everyone was so interested in greeting little Nimai, nobody knew what had happened. So they asked Nimai, what happened? And Nimai said, oh, I was playing on the bank of the Ganges and I got lost. And these two very, very nice gentlemen, they decided to take me home. So they picked me up and they carried me right to our doorstep and they brought me here. And they were thinking, oh, such wonderful men, such pious men, they have done such a good favor for us. Let us give them nice gifts. So they prepared beautiful silken turbans and other nice precious gifts. And they came out to present them to the men as a reward for bringing home Nimai. But they couldn't find them anywhere because they had already escaped for their lives. So this simple and wonderful historical narration is very instructive. First of all, you see how one person wants to decorate the Lord with all nice things, and another class of men wants to take from the Lord all nice things. That is the difference between a devotee and an unfortunate soul. And another lesson is this, that ultimately these thieves, they were so fortunate. They were so immensely fortunate. But they did not understand their fortune. And therefore, that is the greatest misfortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes, who even the greatest of yogis performed tapasya for births and births and births to get one glimpse of. Who even the jnanis, they study the scripture for births and births and births, day and night, just to get a glimpse of the effulgence coming from him. The absolute truth in his full, perfect manifestation was riding right on their shoulders, were right within their hands. And they were giving nice sweetmeats, they were doing nice service to him. But they didn't know it. Because of their greed, because they were not in a mood of devotion and faith, because they were thinking of taking from the Lord rather than giving to the Lord, they could not understand that they were the most fortunate people, and they actually had attained the supreme perfection of life. And it is a fact that everyone in this world, Krishna's here, Krishna's with us. For the devotees of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada once told the devotees that you are all liberated. That every one of my disciples is a liberated soul. And disciples were thinking, maybe he thinks we're liberated, but if he had to witness my mind all the time, it doesn't appear that I'm liberated. I'm still very much attached, and I'm still suffering all sorts of anxieties, and I still have so many desires just accumulating in my heart again and again, even though I'm trying to be a devotee. How could he say I'm liberated? Liberation means freedom from misery, freedom from suffering. Srila Prabhupada said, no, you are liberated because you are engaging in Krishna's service. And because you are chanting his name, you are on the liberated platform. But you do not understand you are liberated. That is the only problem. You have not realized the fortune that you have. Just today, to be in the association of devotees, to be chanting the holy names, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, to be dancing, to be hearing the glories of the Lord, to be sitting before the most beautiful and splendid forms of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath. This is the supreme perfection of life. We are all factually in Goloka Vrindavan. We have all actually attained the highest platform of divine realization. To be given entrance into the association of devotees where the loving of service and the praise of Krishna is taking place is the ultimate perfection in all of existence. And here we are. We've attained it. Now, what separates us from the supreme joy and pleasure of what we have? Why is it that even though we're sitting here right now in the spiritual world, in the presence of Radha and Krishna and their devotees, engaging in all the activities of the spiritual world, why is it that we're still in anxiety? Why is it that we're still feeling distress in our heart and we're still feeling unfulfilled desires? Why are we not in ecstatic bliss? We should be. We're in the atmosphere and in the environment of ecstatic bliss. For one reason only. Because we do not have faith. We do not have that simple and pure faith in the fortune that we have. That's all. That's the only thing separating us right now from Satchit Ananda consciousness, eternal knowledge full of bliss. Srila Prabhupada said, and if Srila Prabhupada was sitting right here today, he would say, you are all liberated. Huh? But we do not understand this liberation. We do not understand the fortune that we have. We do not have faith in the mercy that is upon us. And therefore, when we leave this room, we're cast back again into material consciousness in so many ways. Huh? As long as we still have the desire to lord it over material nature, to be the enjoyer, As long as we do not have that humble servant's attitude, we cannot understand, appreciate, or enjoy the fortune that is ours. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us, I've given you everything. You don't need anything else. The first volume of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he said, everything that is needed for the ultimate perfection of life is in this book and the holy name of Krishna and the association of devotees. You don't need anything else. You have everything. You have Krishna, you have Radha, you have Vrindavan, you have the Brahma Jyoti included, Mukti, you have everything right here. But what is our misfortune? That we're such fools and such rascals that although everything is here, the supreme spiritual mercy and opulence is right in our hands, we're still looking for something else. Huh? We're still searching for something outside of Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj had the opposite realization. He was looking for material life, but by the grace of Sri Narada Muni, who taught him the proper process of chanting the holy name and service of Guru, he attained the divine vision of Lord Narayan. And he said, I was looking for broken pieces of glass, but I have found the most beautiful, precious, invaluable jewel of your darshan, my Lord. Huh? That was Dhruva's realization. But what is our position? We have the most beautiful, precious, invaluable jewel in our hands, in our hearts, in our minds, in our life, all around us. And we're looking for broken pieces of glass. Does that make sense? That is our condition. So these thieves, the supreme realization of all transcendentalists, was sitting right on their shoulders. And instead of feeling love and joy, they were experiencing fear and anxiety. Huh? How is that? If Nimai was on your shoulders, you would be very happy, would you not? Even if you put Priyavrata on your shoulders, you'd be very happy. What to speak of Nimai? He's only a little part and parcel. Huh? Or Balaram, all of our devotees, they like to put Balaram and pick him up, and they, oh, very pleasing, very blissful. I have little Balaram, Rohini Nandan's baby in my arms. So we like to carry beautiful little children. It gives us joy. What to speak, they, whatever beauty, whatever charm, whatever pleasure they're giving us, they're only an insignificant, infinitesimal, little tiny fragmental part of Krishna. What to speak of having the complete whole in the form of a little child riding on your shoulders? Can you imagine the bliss and ecstasy you would be in? But these thieves, they were simply experiencing fear. No love, but fear. The fact is, we are carrying Krishna in our hearts 24 hours a day. He's there, personally manifesting. Yet, our hearts are filled with fear and anxiety. Why is that? Everything is being given to us, but we cannot appreciate it because we do not have faith. When Sachi Devi and Jagannath Mishra would pick up Nimai and give him rides on their shoulders, they felt ultimate bliss. And the thieves, while he was on their shoulders, they felt nothing but fear. Huh? Why? It is explained in this verse. Ye yatamam prabhajyante tam stathaiva bhajamyaham mama vartmanu vartante manusya parata sarvasha. Because as you approach me in your consciousness, that is how I reveal myself to you. Haribo. To simply hear submissively the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the association of sincere and honest devotees of the Lord is the ways and the means of awakening this natural faith within our hearts. You see, when a professional reciter of Bhagavatam or of any other transcendental literature recites, it sounds the same, but it can have no effect in our heart. Krishna reveals himself when honest, humble, and sincere devotees repeat his names and glories. And when honest, humble, and sincere devotees gather to hear the glories of the Lord, that atmosphere creates faith within our hearts. And as that faith grows, Krishna reveals the truth of the fortune that we have. Therefore, the first and most important duty in our life, according to the Shastra, is to associate with sadhus and to submissively open our ears, open our hearts, and hear from them. That message of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when it enters into our ears, it purifies our minds, it purifies our hearts. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Krishna Surya Sam Maya Hoya Andhakar, Yahan Krishna Tahan Mahi Mayar Adhikar. That Krishna is like the sun, full of light and effulgence, and Maya is like darkness. And Krishna is non-different than the sound vibration of the holy scriptures when they are vibrated by the gentle Vaishnavas. Just like when the sun rises, automatically all darkness is removed. Darkness is the cause of fear. When you are in darkness, you do not know what is in front, what is behind. You do not know what is next, whether you're going to step into a ditch, whether you're going to step on a poisonous snake, whether someone is behind you, about to kill you, to murder you. Huh? In darkness, there is fear. Fear is due to not knowing. And what is the darkness of this world? We do not know. Whatever we have gained in our life through all of our hard labor, we do not know whether it will be taken away tomorrow or even today. We could lose it all. We could lose our loved ones. We could lose ourselves, our own life, our own body. We can die. We don't know, because we're in darkness, and therefore we are living our life in fear. An advancement of civilization is simply a civilization that's trying all sorts of artificial devices to somehow or other pacify us from this fear. Huh? Which is based on ignorance. Ignorance is the byproduct of darkness. Huh? But when the sun rises, we can see everything as it is. We can see everything in its relationship with Krishna. What is as it is? We are the eternal soul. Najayate mriyate vakada chinnayanbupavavita vanabhuya ajonitya shashvato yanpurano nahanyate hanyamane sarire. The soul is eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. It is unborn, it is undying, it is not slain when the body is slain. The soul is perfect and complete in and of itself. When it understands its eternal relationship with its source, with Krishna. The fact is, we are eternally connected to Krishna. Every living being is Krishna conscious. Every living being is liberated. Every living being is a pure lover of God. But some have forgotten and some remember. That is the only difference. So when the light of truth, when the light of knowledge awakens within our heart, we understand the most fortunate position that we are always in, eternally, past, present, and future. We are most fortunate. We are part of Krishna. We are liberated. Huh? But when we are like the thieves, even though we have everything, we are fearful. We are in anxiety. We're trying to run and hide from the truth. So Krishna consciousness means simply learning how to hear and allow this transcendental vibration, which is full of all light, to come into our ears and give brilliant illumination to our hearts and to our lives, by which we can perceive everything in truth with faith. Shabda Brahma. Shabda Brahma means Brahma. The supreme truth appears within sound vibration. He is within the narration of his divine pastimes. He is within, personally, the deep philosophy of the Bhagavad Gita. And he is appearing so wonderfully. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, in every syllable of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Supreme Absolute Truth is fully manifesting himself. And if we simply read with faith, we will experience divine ecstasy in every syllable. So we have to develop this faith through association with those who have faith. That is the only means. Krishna, the Supreme Brahman, is eternally manifesting within his name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. But according to our purity of heart and the purity of our faith, we will be able to experience the supreme divinity of Krishna in every syllable of his name. So this is the highest and truest path of yoga, to simply keep our consciousness forever connected to Krishna through sound vibration, through associating with faithful people, and by utilizing whatever we have, our skills, our intelligence, in reconnecting them to Krishna through the process of bhakti, through the process of devotion. This is the great science, and this is the great gift and fortune that the Lord has given us. We can simply learn how to come together free of envy and pride for one another, simply to come together to help, to inspire one another, to chant the holy names of God and serve the mission of the Lord, then we will create an atmosphere by which Krishna will be pleased, so pleased, to liberate all of us. Because this is the Sankirtan movement. To the extent we are coming together in congregation to glorify the Lord free of pride and envy, to that degree Krishna is going to reveal himself to all of us individually as well as collectively. So if we're in any way holding some grudge or feeling some impediment created by another devotee, or feeling envy toward another devotee, or feeling anger at another devotee, or not willing to forgive another devotee, what we are doing is we are creating an atmosphere where the congregational chanting of the holy name, where we're coming together, our hearts are not one in Krishna's glory. We're creating a situation where Krishna will not be pleased to reveal himself to you or to anyone else. So this is Sankirtan consciousness. That if I have any bad feelings toward any other devotee, if I'm holding any bad feelings in this way, I am cheating myself.